Welcome to the Decisions That Matter podcast, where we meet with leaders from across the procurement community to discuss innovative and strategic ideas. Because when it comes to procurement, every decision matters. Welcome to a new episode of Decisions That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Stonehouse, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Bernadette Lowney. And we are going to talk today about our most recent procurement trends survey. This is the fall installment of the survey, and we sent the previous version out this past summer to really get into the minds and the activities of procurement leaders from across the United States in all levels of government, from state, county, city, into different agencies, and also higher education in K-12, to really get a feel for the different topics and different goods and services that were top of mind for them, and really try to understand the kind of ups and downs of managing procurement through the COVID-19 pandemic. So just to give you all, if you haven't seen the survey, a little bit of understanding of what we asked and what we were looking for when we sent the survey around. We took some baseline questions about what type of public sector organization the survey respondents were in, what location they were in within the United States. And then the meat of the survey really gets into the questions that I mentioned. We asked, what are the most important topics your organization is focused on over the next 6 months? And we also asked, what goods and services are most important to you in response to COVID-19? And then to round out the survey, we asked, do you anticipate a budget shortfall for your organization in the next 6 months? And do you anticipate being understaffed within the next 6 months? And we've seen some really interesting results this time around. We'll dive into more details about it, but I think a lot of the trends will make sense based on what we all know about the pandemic and some of the things that are, or some of the hardships that are facing state and local governments. But there are also some trends that have shifted a bit from when we deployed this first survey back in June compared to the fall survey that we just sent out. So we're going to dive into those questions and look at those in a little more detail. Bernadette, what are some things that stood out to you when you first took a look at the survey?
Yeah, so looking at these results, I think I was a little bit surprised about how different some of the responses were based on, you know, where we were in June. So back in June, you could definitely tell based on the responses that there was a very, you know, heightened focus on the pandemic. And so one thing in particular, back in June, over 50% of people reported that new social distancing remote work policies was the most important topics the organization would be focused on over the next 6 months. In this recent fall survey, that number drops to 37.2%. Not that I think that means that governments and education institutions are not focusing on that, but I think it shows that a lot of that work was done in the first half of the pandemic and over the course of the summer, and that heightened focus has lessened and moved elsewhere. So where that focus has shifted, not necessarily to one specific area, but actually what we saw was that focus seemed to disperse amongst a lot of various topics, as opposed to back in June, it really was focused specifically on the pandemic. Office budget and funding, while it actually decreased a little bit in percentage of respondents that reported it as a priority, it did rise up the ranks. So procurement, office budget, and funding was the most highly reported topic that organizations would be focused on. And so I think, you know, going into the end of the calendar year, really looking at how budget shortfalls is going to impact going into Q1 and Q2 next year is a really, really high priority. What do you think, Alex, in terms of how those topics of focus have dispersed to not just be focused on the pandemic?
Yeah, when I look at the top results, I think what's happening is a lot of governments and schools have figured out exactly what they want that social distancing policy or that remote work policy to be. So when we did the first round of the survey back in June, there was a tremendous amount of uncertainty. It was top of mind for almost everybody. And even if you hadn't, or even if you had decided on what you wanted the policy to be, a lot of people hadn't put that into action yet. So now we're in a place where most offices have either decided on what that policy is or enacted that policy, or have some type of hybrid work environment in place now where some people are home and some people are in the office, or they're rotating days. or you're working in smaller pods compared to what you used to do. So it's obviously still a concern. We had over a third of people say that it's still top of mind for them. And there's still obviously things like, should we be putting up dividers between desks? Should we be sharing a water fountain? Should we do all this kind of stuff if governments are coming back into the same office? So it's still top of mind, but just not at the same extent that it was before. And then what I think we're seeing with some of the other categories, including procurement office budgets, a focus on cooperative purchasing, a renewed emphasis on savings, and then also an emphasis on making sure staffing levels and staff abilities are up to par. All of those topics were actually very important topics even before the pandemic hit. And I think what's happening now is that initial response to just managing the initial crisis is a little bit past the peak. And then now these issues are coming back, which they were underlying issues to begin with. But as a lot of governments and schools and things spend a lot of their budget or surpluses on that initial 2, 3, 4 months of the pandemic response, now that's sort of into the next phase of reality of how are we actually paying for all this stuff. And it's interesting because a lot of the needs have shifted. So things, all the costs that come with operating multiple buildings and having thousands of people in the office, some of those costs have diminished. But then that just shifts a new cost to everything that comes with the remote work policies, the technology, cybersecurity, all the different things that come along with that. So we did see the two other things that popped into the top of the list coming in at over 20% that weren't over 20% last time were the importance of e-procurement and inventory management and warehousing. And those two are both directly related to sort of the aftermath of the pandemic and the realization of how important those two things are going forward.
Yeah, definitely. And even anecdotally from ourselves and people on our teams, conversation, procurement officials, that e-procurement piece now is as important time as ever to come to the realization that like relying on paper and file cabinets and things that have to physically exist, you can't do that in the digital workforce world, you know, right? A lot of us are working from home, having to rely on email more and digital communication more. And so I think making that move into e-procurement has heightened as a priority for a lot of organizations that may have had that more on the back burner pre-pandemic.
Yeah, you can't just run over to the file cabinet and find something or make 20 copies of something and hand it out to everybody anymore like you used to be able to.
Yeah.
It's gotta live somewhere that everybody has access to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think honestly, when I look at the 20% for e-procurement, the only reason I think it's as low as it is because there's already a decent amount of governments and colleges and things that already have an e-procurement system. So if we were starting from scratch, I would guess that number would be a lot higher, and pretty much everyone's trying to have some sort of e-procurement capabilities. But I think it really had ticked up because the people who hadn't seen it as a priority or who hadn't done that investment yet, it quickly became urgent once there was no in-person workforce. The really interesting thing that I've seen about the inventory management dilemma has been people are still trying to figure out exactly what the right balance is for how much to keep in-house in a warehouse, how much they should rely on their suppliers to keep some sort of inventory for them to have easy access to. But the really interesting part about this is the advice, and I think kind of the common knowledge and the overall trend was to move away from warehousing and having too much inventory on hand, just because of the immense overhead costs and kind of logistical nightmare that can be. So to host a huge warehouse, that requires an extensive staff, a lot of logistics. It also can be very expensive because there's issues with rot and things going bad and ordering too much that you don't get to use it by the time it expires, things like that. So that was a problem historically for procurement departments. And with the speed and kind of agility of different suppliers, it sort of went out of fashion to have everything in a warehouse because you could order it online and have it literally show up at your loading dock the next day. But what we saw was that that really is reliant upon a healthy supply chain. So for things that aren't required in an emergency or aren't part of that emergency response capabilities, I think that's still a totally fine system, is having things show up when you need them. But for things like water bottles or even things like ventilators and the masks and things like that, I think people are realizing, all right, what are the 10 things we might need in a pandemic or in an emergency, and let's have those on hand. And then everything else we can still have shipped when we need it.
So I think to kind of summarize in terms of the most important topics, survey respondents reported that their organization is focused on over the next 6 months. So kind of a disbursement of focus from specific pandemic response, immediate disaster response, to a lot of the rippling effects. So we have cooperative purchasing, savings, staffing levels, e-procurement, and then inventory management and warehousing. So
yeah, and that actually segues us nicely to the next question about the goods and services. So one of the things when you take a look at the numbers is overwhelmingly the most important thing across the board, with 86% of our respondents saying it was of premium importance, is purchasing cleaning and disinfectant supplies. So I don't think that's a surprise to anybody who's listening to this or to us. And it's because it's one of those things that is ongoing. So it's not a one-time purchase. It's not a one-time thing. It's going to be something that people need to continuously buy. And that includes sort of the classical things like purchasing Lysol or wipes for the bathroom, but also companies that are coming in and doing sort of the mass disinfectant with the sprayers and really kind of doing a sweep of the building when there's nobody there. So that's of huge importance and continues to be. And I think we'll probably see that for months to come. And then the next category that is also just under 50% is the medical supplies, including PPE and first aid. And what we've been hearing from people who wrote in additional responses is that this is still a category where it's much, much better than it was 3 months ago in terms of access to things like masks and different first aid materials. But there is still some volatility and uncertainty out in the market. So a lot of people who ordered something back in April, May, June, they're just getting those shipments now for things that were on back order or we're still being manufactured. And then we're also seeing people still having some issues with suppliers who might have kind of popped out of the woodwork over the last 6 months, and people who are still trying to price gouge or trying to charge more than maybe the market rate is or would have been before the pandemic. So I think a lot of the kind of horror stories of things being charged 50 times what they actually cost or 25 times what they actually cost have been minimized, but I still think there are some instances of people charging 2x, 3x, 4x what the things actually cost. And when you're thinking about the scale that a government purchases at, that if something's twice the price that it should be, that adds up to a lot of money, and that's money coming out of the taxpayers' pockets. So that's something that I think a lot of people are definitely concerned about.
Yeah, so I think a couple of things that stood out to me in these results in terms of the goods and services that are most important to the COVID-19 response. Increasing was the focus on hardware, not super significantly. It rose from 18.8% to 25.6%, but combined also with the, again, small but decrease in response in terms of software, from 17.6%, only down a percentage point. But I do think, and I could be reading into the data a little bit too much, but a lot of these organizations are leaning more into working remotely for the long haul. And I think a lot of that software purchasing may have been made earlier on that was really necessary, you know, no matter what, whether we're working from home for a few weeks or several months. But I think as more places start to think about this being a semi-permanent or possibly permanent workforce transition, I think you really have to start making those investments in hardware. So again, could be reading to the data a little bit, but that was something that did jump out to me.
Yeah, I think that interpretation is exactly right. the investment in the software, investing in Zoom or different communication technology, I think was an easier thing to do. It's cheaper. It's something that they realized, hey, we need this right now for sure. And even if we go back to work in 3 months, we'll be able to make use of it. Or we can cancel it or whatever. Whereas saying, all right, we're for real going home now and you were on a desktop, but now we're going to get you a laptop so you can work at home, or you need a brand new Wi-Fi router because you're breaking up on every other call that we do with you. Like, those type of investments, I think, are getting made now that there really is a commitment in a lot of places to work from home. And it's interesting because it does speak a little bit to, I think, just the overall perception of, like, what needs to be done in an office and what needs to be home and who has to be there and who doesn't have to be there. Because that increase in hardware really does speak to the commitment to, yeah, it's not just 3 months, not just 6 months. There's a lot of places where, hey, just to be safe or until there's a vaccine or some type of scenario where we can come back to work safely, I think there will be some places that are home for 6 months, a year, or who knows how long. So it's definitely an interesting trend.
Yeah, so looking at the comparison from this summer until now, something that caught my eye was that remote work cybersecurity was reported by 18.8% of respondents back in June as something that was important to COVID-19 response. And that has fallen out of the top seven, so below 14% of the fall survey responses. So I would read into this to say that, you know, I think moving from an office setting to working from home, there is a heightened awareness for cybersecurity. So, you know, making sure that all work being done was still secure. So I think that was a higher priority at the beginning of the pandemic. Would you agree there, Alex?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's something that it was either of more concern or they realized it wasn't as big of a problem as mm-hmm. they anticipated it being. So there was so much uncertainty about what that move to going home was going to feel like, or what it was going to be like, that I think there was a little over concern about that. And I think people are realizing that they're actually set up pretty well with the security that they have in place or that they've already purchased. So that one doesn't surprise me too much dropping off.
Yeah. So, you know, something that's entered, you know, the top seven of the goods and services that are most important to our survey respondents is police and security services, coming in at 14%. And I don't feel completely out of term, you know, thinking that this response is a direct result of the heightened awareness of police brutality in the nation right now as a result of George Floyd's murder this summer and the resulting, you know, protests and just education that I think a lot of people have been experiencing.
So one of the biggest swings that we saw was to the question, do you anticipate a budget shortfall within the next 6 months? Last time we did the survey in June, that number was up around 75%, with the majority of our survey respondents saying they did anticipate a budget shortfall. And if you think about when that was really during the peak of the pandemic response and at the peak of spending. So that was when you were hearing stories of people from Illinois are driving 100 miles to pick up ventilators from a truck in a parking lot parked next to Lake Michigan, or you're hearing stories of different governments spending $3 million, $5 million in one go for somebody, for a supplier that they'd never met, and they were writing the check before they received the goods. They're sort of circumventing the traditional procurement safety nets in order to just sort of out of desperation, but to really just get the goods to the people that needed them. And I think if you were to forecast that pace and that spending out, almost pretty much every government would have been at a shortfall at that pace. That number has dropped from 75% to 55% on the most recent survey. And I think that is probably closer to a stabilization, with the 55% of people anticipating a shortfall in the next 6 months. So it's still a majority at over 50%, but a lot of those 55% are likely governments in the group that I just mentioned, where they sort of spent through their budget, that they had built for the whole year and a couple of months to meet the needs and the demands that were put upon them. And then some of the people who maybe thought they might have to do that, but then it turned out they didn't have to because they weren't in a hot zone or they weren't as impacted by COVID as maybe some other governments were. They've probably dropped up from a no, from a yes to a no on this question because they just never kind of spiked and became a hot spot like they might have been anticipating. So this one is definitely varies widely depending on the region that you're in and also the size of government. So I know a lot of states took the brunt of some of the spending, like California, Illinois, a couple others are pretty good examples of that. They had big budget surpluses and sort of like rainy day funds that they burned through pretty quickly. But it no doubt has affected everybody in some way.
That's completely true.
I think that's it for today. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you want to take a closer look at the different survey results and compare percentages and look at this round versus the June results, feel free to visit procurated.com. Go to our resources tab at the bottom of the page and you can take a look at the different articles. I'll also link to those down in the show notes. So anyone who wants to can take a look at those. Thank you all for listening, and thank you to everyone who took the survey when we sent it around and participated in it. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for listening to Decisions That Matter. This podcast is brought to you by Procurated, the leading supplier evaluation tool for procurement professionals across the U.S. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you prefer to listen. See you again next time.